We come today on this Father's Day to the last message in our Straight Up series, and we've been asking and answering some very important questions, life questions, questions like, is there life after death, which began on Easter Sunday, our series. And we've talked about the question of, are same-sex marriages really the same, a controversial and a very difficult topic. We dealt straight up with that. We dealt with the question simply of why. That ultimate question, that eternal question. Why terrible things, tragic things, bad things happen? God gave us answers from His Word. We talked about, is the Bible the Word of God, the authority of life? And we talked about, does life begin? When does life begin? But today we come to a very personal and very pertinent question, and that is simply, how can I, as a dad, a man, be a hero to my own kids? Now, most men don't consider themselves heroes. As a matter of fact, most heroes never considered themselves to be heroes, didn't set out to be heroes, but ended up as great heroes, heroines, because of the actions, the decisions, the choices they made. In Proverbs 20 in verses 6 and 7, the scripture says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. The suggestion here is that many are willing to say, I'm doing a great job. I'm a good dad. I'm a good husband. I'm steadfast and faithful in my love and in my devotion, but we don't get to choose whether or not we are heroes or not. We don't get to decide if we are truly faithful men. Ultimately, our families decide that for us. Our friends decide that for us. Our kids will decide that for us. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but then the question, but who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. A man who loves God, who walks in obedience to the Lord, who keeps his promises, the vows he made to his wife and his kids and to himself and his grandchildren. These are the real heroes of our day. We have celebrities and entertainers and athletes, even great soldiers, of course. But in my view, the heroes, the unsung heroes of our times or of any time, are the faithful men of God who live and leave a legacy of faith and faithfulness for their families. What will you leave as a spiritual legacy for your family? Yes, this is a message that is directed to dads. Certainly the principles apply to any believer, male or female, dad or not a dad. It applies to all of us, but I love the opportunity to go straight up with men. Thank God for the godly women of this church. We obviously couldn't do it without you. But I am so grateful for the strong, male, godly leadership of the men of this church. Whether they're singing as standing up and singing as they are today. You know, it's not easy for men to get up and sing like that. Most men. But to stand up in that choir today and to belt it out like that. Why? Because they love God, they love their church, and they love their families. And to be able to go straight up with men. I've discovered over the years, if you will challenge men in the church to become men of God and great churchmen, then the church will thrive and triumph in any circumstance of life. And we are grateful for the good and godly men of this church. So once again, we're going to go at the scripture. We're going to go at men, all of us, through the scripture. Because you like it, guys, I know, to go straight up with truth. We've heard from the experts. We've heard from the professionals. We've heard from the pundits as to what we need today. But let's hear from God. What does God say? Because your influence, and that's what your legacy is, that's what your leadership is, your influence will last beyond your own children. If you will make this your spiritual influence, make it the mission of your life. Not your career, not how much money you make, not the applause of the world, but make it your mission in life to be a godly man leaving a godly legacy for your children. It's like a relay race from one generation to another. And just as the scripture here in Proverbs 26 and 7 refers to those children who rise up and call their dad blessed at the end of their days, so let it be that we men will pass on a legacy of life and love to our children, like we're anchoring a race for eternity. There's a great old hymn which I quoted in my book, Man of God. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and voice to serve the King of Kings. It's time for men to rise up. Psalm 112 verse 2 says, His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Every dad needs to live and leave behind the solid values of faith and hope and love, spiritual devotion, respect and discipline, a strong work ethic. Now, of course, we know one of the problems of our country is the breakdown of the family. And the key component to the breakdown of the family in our country and in our culture is the absence of a father. Whether it is a divorced father who is gone or a disengaged father who is still at home, but not involved, not interested in the spiritual values of his family. So don't be an absent father. Be present, be all the way there. And our children need strong dads, present dads, because the bullets are flying everywhere. This is spiritual warfare, and our kids and our grandkids are the target of the enemy. And it is our responsibility, men, to be faithful, to teach them to stand strong and solid on Christ, sometimes alone in a hostile world. We wonder, how can we protect them? How can we provide for them spiritual weapons so that our own children and future generations of our families will continue to fight the good fight of faith? I heard about a man and his young son. They were climbing a mountain, and they came to a particularly dangerous part of the trek upwards and the pathway, and the dad paused for just a few moments to decide which path to take and to take his son with him. And as he was waiting and looking forward, his little son said, Dad, choose the right path because I'm following after you. Little legs are following you. Little eyes are watching you. So choose well. And guess what? If you choose well, you get to be a hero. You may not be a hero in the eyes of the world, but you will be a hero in the eyes of the people which matter the most. Your little children and your grandchildren. Who can find a faithful man? How can you be a hero to your kids? Right? Popping out of this brief text in Proverbs 26 and 7 are some qualities that I believe identify a faithful man, a hero to the kids. Number one is character. Notice the word righteous is used there, which means right living. And the word integrity is given to us there. And these are descriptive words of a person's character. Integrity, you see the word integer there. And to be a person of integrity means that you live a well-integrated life. The word is wholeness. The scripture says that you would be sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. That you would be more and more like Christ, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That men would be physically pure and mentally strong and spiritually committed. A lot of great definitions of what character is. Integrity and righteousness certainly ultimately define it according to the Word of God. John Wooden, the former coach of the UCLA Bruins basketball team, the great coach, the legendary coach, just recently passed away, almost 100 years of age. But he said this about character: be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. And I would add, it's what God knows you are. That's your character. Your character has been described as that which is who you are when nobody is looking. Your character is who you are in the dark. Your character is the sum total of the choices that we make or you make in life. That's character. That's righteousness. And the first choice, obviously, that must be made if you're going to be a person of character is to choose righteousness. And that righteousness is found in Christ and Christ alone, not in human righteousness or in self-righteousness. Righteousness is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to righteousness. And so when we receive Jesus, we receive His righteousness, and we stand in His righteousness alone, and therefore we, indwelt by the Spirit, live in that same righteousness. So to be a man of character, to be a woman of character, means that you are second and Jesus is first. He is Lord. Having received Him as your Savior and Lord, you now live for Him. Now, I know that you feel, men, you feel the temptations of this particular generation. There's the temptation to yield and to compromise our character at every turn. The hot breath of Satan is on our necks constantly. Therefore, if we are to be men and women of character, we must so devote ourselves to Christ and strengthen ourselves in prayer and the Word of God that the allurements, the attractions of this world will not do us in. I saw the University of Texas baseball coach said after losing the Big 12 tournament in baseball, TCU, go Frogs. But they lost the previous league tournament or conference tournament, and he was suggesting that his guys weren't interested is the reason they lost. And he gave a great quote, though, to explain that. He said, "Even a lion will pass up a kill if it just ate." Now, men, if you are full of God, If you are full of the Spirit of God, if you are full of the Word of God in your life, if you eat the life of God, then you can pass by the devil's kill. And you can live in victory in your life. Be faithful in prayer. Stay in the Word of God. Be faithful in church. You want to be a man of character? Don't minimize the impact and the influence of being around other godly people to encourage you and invest in you. You know, Jesus got up out of the grave. The least you can do is get out of your bed and get off the couch on Sunday morning and get to church. If you want to be a faithful man. If you want to be a godly man. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those men whose hearts are blameless towards him. God's eyes are searching this room today for a few good men. For a few good men whose hearts are blameless. Didn't say who are perfect toward him, because none of us are perfect, but blameless towards him. In other words, we're wide open with God. We're honest to God. That's our character. And then there's consistency. Consistency. He speaks here of being a faithful man in verse 6. Proverbs 28, 20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man will abound with blessings. One of my life passages given to me by my pastor. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 2 Timothy 2:3, share in suffering as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few good men. And most likely, if you're a good soldier, it means that you're not just succeeding, but you're probably doing some suffering for the cause of Christ. Our children need to be inspired by the greatness and the goodness and the godliness of men. Men who believe boldly and live loudly. Not irresponsible men. Not men who choose their own way and selfishly decide how they're going to live. You know, happiness begins where selfishness ends. And if you want to be a happy man, a blessed man, and your children after you, away with the selfishness and live in a consistent way, because our kids, you know, you can't kid a kid. Our kids can spot a phony a mile off. Neil Jeffrey, who's our associate pastor, was telling in the earlier service, when he was a student minister, as he was here at our church for a number of years, one of the biggest difficulties he dealt with, and other student ministers have told me the same thing, is the inconsistencies that our kids see at home. It's like the guy in our text. Many proclaim their steadfast love, but who can find a faithful man who's not only faithful down at the church, but faithful at the house? And many kids walk away from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't see consistency. Again, not perfect. Kids don't need perfect, but they do need real. And the world needs real. The people at your office need real. The world could care less about your relationship with Jesus. What they care about is your resemblance to Jesus. Are you like Jesus? Neil, come on up here. Welcome, Neil Jeffrey. Neil preached the earlier service, and in his message he was telling a lot about his father, James Jeffrey, who's a great man now in heaven, and he was the head of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes nationally here, great athlete himself, produced Neil and a generation of great athletes. And but Neil was telling us and some things, Neil, that you said in that I really never knew about your family. Because some of you may be sitting here right now thinking, my goodness, this is too late for me. I didn't have a good dad, and you're using that as an excuse maybe for the way that you're living, or maybe you're thinking, I haven't been a good dad, and I don't know how I can ever get this turned around in my life or my family turned around. But Neil, you were talking about your dad and how he came to Christ and the consistency of his life. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, he was, of course, a great dad. Love the Lord, and infected us and all of my family powerfully. But he was not raised by a good dad. In fact, he was raised by a father who was an alcoholic. He was never around. He worked a lot and was basically a decent man, but just he'd be gone on a drunk to weekend, just be gone, leave the house. In fact, Dad would say they never let any door to be locked in the house because they always wanted to be sure if Dad wanted to get back in, he'd have no trouble. My dad never. His dad never watched him play a game. My dad was a great athlete and played everything, and his dad never saw him play a game. But one day when my dad was a sophomore in high school, his dad left on a drunk, and my dad never saw him again. He never came home. My dad spent the rest of his life hoping and praying he would see his dad again, and he never did. Now, you know, it's possible my dad could have become an alcoholic. I mean, that it didn't always happen, but that's conceivable because it happens all the time. In fact, all my dad's sisters married men who were alcoholics. All of my cousins on that side of the family have just hellacious stuff, terrible stuff went on. My dad could have been that. He could have raised me that way. I could have been today struggling with that. But when my dad was at Baylor in 1946, my dad, who was struggling in his life and just had some terrible things happen at Baylor. He was flunking out of school, and he just reached a point that life was overwhelming him. He hitchhiked all the way to Corpus Christi from Waco. Gets home, he goes in the house, it's late at night, and he goes into the bedroom where his mom slept, and his mom wasn't there. He turned on the light, his mom wasn't there. He goes next door to Mr. English's house, and I've heard my dad tell the story 1,000 times. He said, Mr. what's wrong? He said, Jeff, I thought you knew. Your mom had a nervous breakdown. She's in the hospital. She may not make it. My dad was just overwhelmed. The only rock in his life was his mom, who was a godly woman. He goes back in the house, kneels at his mom's bed, and says this: God, if you're up there the way mom said you are, and if you're listening to me as mom always said you would listen, and if you would come into my heart and forgive my sin as mom said you would, right now, I'm asking into my life. You know what? My dad got saved, changed his life. You know what else? It changed the course of his life, changed the whole direction of his life, changed the man he became, changed who he married. He married a godly woman who was raised in the church. In fact, my mom would have never given my dad the time of day if Dad hadn't been changed, but a new man. But you know what? He was following Christ, and his whole life, he consistently lived it out to be for us. He wasn't perfect by a long stretch of message, but he was real, and he was a real man with a real faith, with a real Savior. He lived it out in the midst of the real world in a real way before us. And when my dad died, I stood at his funeral, and basically I said, Dad, thank you for following Jesus, because everybody who was following you, including me, ended up following who you were following. Changed his life, changed everyone that came after him. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. They're out here. Now, Neil, you were also sharing about being at your dad's bedside when he received news about his fatal illness that eventually took his life. Because not only do we live a legacy, live in faith, but if we're men of God, as the song we just heard said, we're not afraid to die. Tell us about that. What happened?
Well, he was consistent his whole life with us. I mean, he did lived it, he shared it. I mean, we always went to church, and we didn't always want to go to church, but he always took us to church. We did family altar, and we didn't want to do family altar, but he called us together. He just was faithful. He disciplined us. I mean, he did the right thing all the way through. He'd pray for me. He encouraged me. If I got out of line, we sat down. I mean, he whipped me. All the way through, he'd pray for me. I'd be struggling. I mean, he was godly all the way through his whole life. Well, at the end of his life, of course, he was my hero. He was a man's man, athlete. At the end of his life, well, he'd been sick for months, and we just at MD Anderson, and they just were going to tell him what he had, and he had they walk in there, and he had you got pancreatic cancer. You got 3 months to live. Well, he walks out of the deal that the surgeon does. It's me, my dad, and my mom. And my dad, who's my hero, is on that table. I mean, at that moment, I was just overwhelmed with how old he looked. I was overwhelmed with how weak he looked and just frail. I had lost all that weight because of this thing that obviously eating him up. And his face is shrunk. I mean, just all of that. And you have to wear that girly little gown. You got to wear it. He had that thing on. And I mean, he just looked whipped. But you know what? At that moment, my dad has never been more of a giant in my eyes in his whole life. He was huge. He was big. You know what? Because in that moment when my dad was facing death, his faith was as strong as ever. He basically said, bring it on. He said, if this is the end for me, it's not the end for me, because death has been swallowed up in victory. I'm going to go be with Jesus. You know, my dad lived, even in the face, the last months of his life, he lived with great faith as he always had. And you know what? When my dad died, and I'm standing at his graveside, and of course, that casket is about to be lowered in the ground. It just dawned on me. You know what? I just felt this in a supernatural way. The peace of God came all over me, and my dad, who lived his whole life, it made me realize in a powerful supernatural way, you know what? This whole thing is real, because I've seen it lived in a man. That's a hero. That's how I want to be. It's how I want to live my life. Thank you.
Hey, we ought to do this more often. I think I may get some Sunday, get four preachers up here, and we'll just all go. Man, what a day that would be. You might be here all day. You have to pack a lunch, but. Well, that's the testimony of consistency. Another word is conviction. Conviction. Many say it, but men of God, faithful men, men that are heroes to their kids, they live it. Know what you believe and live it. Because our children know if we believe what we say we believe or if it's just pious talk. Conviction. To be resolved. And therefore, to put resolution, steel, into our children's lives. Because, you see, our children, we want them to go up in life, but every child has a tendency to go down because we inherit the sinful nature of our fathers and our mothers. And so if you just do nothing, guess what's going to happen according to the book of Proverbs? You're going to raise a fool. If you just do nothing, who's raising your kids, Dad? Is it the television? Is it the music world? Is it entertainers? Are the kids' peers? Is it the culture? Somebody's raising your children. And if you want them to make a difference in the world, if you want them to be the kind of men and women that God wants them to be, you better be the one leading the way. You need to be the one raising your kids. Oh, that's mom's deal. No, Dad, it's your deal. As you partner with your wife and the mother of your children and put resolve into the lives of your children. The enemy is hard at work. This is not a time to lose focus. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan, like a roaring lion, is prowling about. That's an interesting word. Seductively, you know, just prowling. He's prowling. Looking to eat our children alive. Not just for dessert, but a main course. And he, like a roaring lion, is prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, is doing that to you and to your family. Not just to, you know, a missionary or a great spiritual hero somewhere that everybody knows, but your adversary, the devil. And this is not a time to lose focus, because as I judge it, Satan is ramping up the attacks in these last days. So it's not time to be a human ostrich and stick our heads in the sand, but to wake up, get up, gear up, and stand strong. This is not a time to wimp out, guys. This is the time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to take God seriously, and to take your mission with your children seriously as well. The idea of resolve, you know, of course, you see the word resolution in there. It's not original or new. Jonathan Edwards, who lived between 1703 and 1758, was a brilliant theologian, philosopher, and powerful preacher of God's grace. Listen to a few of the resolutions of this man and see if they don't challenge you. Resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be the most to the glory of God and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages since. Resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Resolved never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor more or less upon no account except for some real good. Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently so that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Man, get some steel in your soul. Resolve to be God's man. If you're nothing else, if you're nothing less, be God's man. And then finally, compassion. A faithful man is compassionate, who can love and laugh and cry, who's tough and tender like a velvet-covered brick, who could be so strong as to discipline those children, but always with the loving, affectionate arms and the kisses and the hugs that go with such discipline. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. It's a myth to say, well, our kids get my quality time. They don't need your quality time. They need your time. Kids don't care about quality time. They want you. So be affectionate, be available, be affirming, be approving. We all need this. Don't be afraid to show your tears. Yesterday, we had Team Graham. We all went to the Toy Story 3 movie. Great movie. I would highly recommend it. You know, these Toy Story movies are not kids' movies that adults enjoy. They're adult movies that kids can enjoy. They really are. And this one is a powerful one about change and loyalty and family. And I was somewhat prepared because I had read the review that there was a real tear-jerking moment at the end. Now remember, this is animation about toys. And I'm saying to myself, no way am I going to cry in a cartoon. And they get down to the end of this thing, and it's about family, and I'm not going to give away the movie because I've done that before, and I've gotten really chewed out by my own family, though. But there's a great tender scene at the end, and I'm sitting there, big old tears are popping out, and I'm crying at a cartoon, for goodness sake. Through the years, I think God does unleash the tears in a man's heart. Don't be so tough, guys, that you can't be tender. Show your heart by loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. By loving your wife, the best thing you can do for your children is to love their mom. To love your children. And at the end of the day, as the scripture says, you will be blessed by your children after you. We've had a faithful family in this church for many years, since the mid-1980s, the Charles Lou family, Charles and Kathy Lou. Many of you have enjoyed Kathy's walk. But what you may not know is that Charles is a very successful businessman from China. And he moved here as a young man, and his mother told him, who was a strong believer in Christ, though it was in China where there weren't many Christians. He came here as a follower, and his mother said, whatever you do when you get to America, you get in church and you follow Christ. You follow Christ, you get in church. So he did that. And Charles married Kathy, and together they made a powerful team. They worked in our children's ministry through the years, both of them. Charles, as I said, did a lot of travel. He opened Texas Instruments to China and did a great job with that and was very successful in that sense as a business person. But Charles has been dying of cancer, and it's been a long, painful road, and came to the end this past week. And children, along with Kathy, all stood around that bed, which became an altar of worship. As Charles was dying, his dad was dying, and each one of the children began to speak about their dad, testimonies about him. And one said, and all these children, there are four of them, they're just incredible children, doing incredible things, all love the Lord. One of the children say he was a hero because of the way he loved mom and us. His commitment as a dad, a husband, and a grandfather, he showed me and Victor, his brother, how to be a man. This week, he got to watch his grandson pull in a big catfish in the pond in their backyard. He kept an old first baseman's mitt to grab the catfish off the hook. He loved being with his family. He's a hero. One of the other children said he was a servant, taking responsibility for the kids every Sunday so Kathy could have some time alone on a Sunday or a Sunday nap. Often during the week, even though he was a real big shot at TI, he would take an hour lunch break when the kids were preschoolers and run home to give Kathy a break. Another one of the children said he was a worshiper. Over the last 3 days, he wanted the family to comfort him with singing hymns or adoration and truth for who God is and what an awesome Savior Jesus is. And after they would sing a song, he would clearly say, amen. To the very end, one of these children said he was blown away by the love and the forgiveness that he found in Jesus. Though born in China, sovereignly graced by salvation in Christ. We know what a man of faith looks like. It's dad. Another one said because of his example, serving in first grade Sunday school for years with Kathy, committing to serving his church, teaching us the value of giving, and this was one of the daughters who said this, who is a pediatrician. She said, I am a pediatrician because of dad's love for children. Another one spoke of his giving and his legacy. Charles really opened up China to TI, but he also opened it up for the Word of God. He had a sincere passion for the people of China, and he worked with Wycliffe Bible translators, particularly the children there, that they would get the Word of God. And he and Kathy helped start schools in China that taught God's Word. He never forgot his roots or the massive blessings that God allowed for him to experience at life. So at the end, at 77 years of age, when this life is gone, his bed turns into an altar of worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his children do exactly what we read in the Proverbs. They bless him because he's a man of integrity, a righteous man, faithful to the end. Your children are saying, it's a difficult path. It looks dangerous up ahead. Dad, choose the right path because I'm following you. The scripture says, the apostle Paul boldly said, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you, will you say that and live that before your children? Follow me as we follow Christ together.